Well, good morning. God bless you. We've made it all the way to Friday here at Family Camp, and he hasn't come back yet, but this could be the day. If you'd be so kind, please take your Bibles. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5 this morning. This has been a very rich and full week for all of us here at Family Camp, and throughout this camp week, we've seen in so many, many ways the goodness of our God, haven't we? In His watchful care for all of us through the week, but we've also seen from the pages of the Word His watchful care for believers throughout the ages. How His great supply and His provision is so sufficient, His protection given to those who simply look to Him and take Him at His Word. And boy, what a word it is. What a tremendous word we have to be able to work and to be able to read and understand and live by. This Word of God is so absolutely trustworthy that we can absolutely trust it. We can have total reliance on our God because He and His Word are so totally reliable. And certainly, at such a wonderful time in our lives as we are in this last full day of family camp, we have so much to be thankful for, don't we? Certainly, we can't count all our blessings, but we can just so stay thankful, counting them one by one as we sang. As we have sat here and just really had the time to take a good look at God's Word and enjoy the fellowship of like-minded believers, just basking in the love of God, the world has sort of grown strangely dim. Have you noticed? One thing that stands out, you walk by the camp store and you see the little Fresno bee with all the negativity contained therein. The world just grows strangely dim, and well it should, because we have a much higher way to live. We're seated in the heavenlies. We've been brought to the higher ground of God's Word by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know, the things of this world just don't satisfy. They just don't work. They're just really not worth it. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, it says in verse 10, "He that loves silver shall not be satisfied with what? Silver. Nor he that loves abundance with what? Increase. This is also vanity." This and many other verses in the Word perhaps speak very loudly to us in our day and time because our culture is so engulfed with selfish materialism. You know, the almighty dollar that people seek after with all their heart, day in and day out, devoted just to the pursuit of money and wealth and abundance. But God's Word very clearly tells us that even when you get it, silver, money, doesn't satisfy. And even when you get an abundance, people don't get satisfied with that abundance. It just doesn't add up. It's vanity. But how different are the things of God? Look at Psalm 107, the 107th Psalm. In many ways, a tremendous benefit of a week like this is you get the time away from day-by-day responsibilities to sort of sort out priorities. Be noticed, it's a good time to just stop and consider and think in light of the great truth of God and His Word. In the 107th Psalm, in verse 8, it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He, the Lord, satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with what? Goodness." What a contrast to the things of this world. See, money and the abundance and the things of this world just don't satisfy. But how different is our God? He gives a satisfaction that is genuinely satisfying. To the very depths of our souls. Look at the 91st Psalm. Psalm 91 in verse 14, it says, "Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I" what? "Deliver him." Because a believer sets his love upon God, therefore will I deliver him. "I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will" what? "Answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." Verse 16, "With long life will I" what? "Satisfy him and show him my salvation." You know, look at what God promises to do for those that simply set their love upon Him, that love God, and that's our job, that's our joy and privilege, is to love God, and then look at what He promises that He will do, that He will deliver us, that He will set Him on high, that He will answer our prayers, that He'll be with us in trouble, that He will deliver us, that He will honor us. What a great God we have. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. "See, the things of this world do not bring satisfaction, but the things of God do genuinely satisfy." In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says in verse 6, "But godliness with contentment is" what? "Great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out." Isn't that terrific? Little baby comes in with nothing. It's bare naked. Okay? "And it's certain we can't carry anything out." Sort of puts materials in its proper perspective, huh? "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." And a lot of simplicity in that. You know, when our material needs are simply met, we can be content. But verse 6 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." See, godliness is our relationship with God. You know, having a true, vital, spiritual relationship with God. Not just that we know of God or about God, that we know that there is a God, but we know Him. And this has been a week of getting to know Him, hasn't it? See, of deepening and developing our relationship with Him as our Heavenly Father. See, that godliness with contentment is great gain. This word contentment is the word that's translated sufficiency in 2 Corinthians 9:8. We had it earlier this week. "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all" what? "Sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." This word sufficiency is a perfect condition of life in which no aid or support is needed. In other words, it's something where everything's supplied, you got it. And as a result, you have a mind that is content with your lot. So you're satisfied. Our relationship with God brings great contentment, great satisfaction. Every need supplied. We just sang it, didn't we? And complete in thee, each need supplied, and no good thing to me denied. Since thou my portion, Lord, will be, I ask no more, complete in thee. See, the Lord is our portion. That's why we can be so content with it. Because we're content with Him. He's so good. See, our lot in life is the Lord. Look at Psalm 16. People are spending all their time seeking after money, silver, abundance, all these things. And when all is said and done, it just does not satisfy. How different are our lives as believers? Because our sights are set upon Him. And because we have Him, we have everything. You know, you stop and think about it. When you got God in your life, he got everything. And without him, anything he might have ain't no good anyway. That's something. Psalm 16 is really tremendous. If I get there. We're going to read a lot in the book of Psalms this morning because Psalms has so much of the heart of God in it. Much of it was received by revelation by David, who was a man after God's own heart. And Psalms is just filled with the heart of God. But look at what it says in the 16th Psalm. It says in verse 5, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my" what? "Lot." See, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. The Moffat translation of that particular phrase is, "Thou art what I obtain in life, O Thou eternal." Isn't that beautiful? Thou, referring to God, the Lord, is what I obtain in life. See, this is our portion. This is our share. This is what we get out of life, is getting to know Him. And boy, that is satisfying. That makes us sufficient, content in all things. Look at the 119th Psalm. Psalm 119. In verse 57, the Word says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep Thy words." Once again, the psalmist by revelation, the Lord is our portion. In the 142nd Psalm, it says in verse 5, "I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." See, God is our portion. He's what we get out of life. He's the reward in this life. He's our share. See, He's the blessing, getting to know Him. And it also adds the vital information that He's our refuge. See, He's the shelter, so that when we're in the midst of a lot of junk, which so oftentimes we are, that we can go to Him, and He's our refuge. He's our shelter. He's the one that cares for us and protects us. And look at the 73rd Psalm. Psalm 73, in verse 23. To read the context of this psalm, it was in the midst of a lot of junk, a lot of challenges for the psalmist. But verse 23, it says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with Thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand." But how often through this camp week has God reminded us in the manifestations that He's continually with us? It says in Hebrews, "I will never, never leave you. I will never, never, never forsake you." See, God is always with us. He's continually with us. "Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with Thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion" how long? "Forever." See, God isn't just the priority. He's our all in all. See, He's everything. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. God is our portion in this life. But you know, there's a remarkable truth that's corollary to this, recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 32. In verse 9, Deuteronomy 32, it says, for the Lord's portion is His what? People. Isn't that something? See, our portion is who? The Lord. And the Lord's portion is who? Us. You know, somebody once taught that if a deal is good for both parties, that it's a good business deal. You ever heard that? This is a good business deal. That it's good for us is undeniable, huh? But you know what? The Lord takes great delight in His people. And the great story, the great record, the great truth of God's Word is that He's always wanted a people that He could care for, that He could provide for, that would look to Him for sufficiency. See, a people who would love Him in return for His love bestowed upon them. And in this day and time, you know what? We be the people. See, this is written of Israel. But for our learning today, we're His sons. And boy, when there's a people upon earth that look to God, that trust God, that rely on God, that love Him, that take Him at His word, that brings great delight to God. That's His portion. That's what He gets out of this. See, His share, His lot, His portion is His people. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it just so logical that if He's our portion and we are His portion, that now we should just live wholeheartedly for Him? Look at Matthew chapter 6. We had this section of Scripture to open our camp Sunday night, which in many ways seems like about 2 or 3 months ago. But Matthew chapter 6, in verse 31, it says, therefore take no thought. Don't get all anxious, mentally distracted, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles what? Seek. You know, we saw earlier that that which people are seeking after in the material realm doesn't satisfy. You know, people spend all their time seeking material sustenance. You know, everybody, the unbelievers, that's what people are after. For your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things. See, God designed human beings. He knows we need clothes. He knows we need food. He knows everything. In verse 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you. Now, either God's word is true or it isn't. See, if we seek God's first, He says, absolutely, all these things will be added unto you. Now, I'll tell you, if we seek money, if we seek clothes, if we seek cars, if we seek rent, all that stuff, and then sort of put God in second place, there's no promise fulfilled in our lives. But when we keep Him first, He promises to take care of us. It's been said, seek the blessor, not the blessing. You know, the Gentiles, unbelievers, are seeking the blessing. See, but we're here to seek the blessor, keep Him first. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. People sort of get things bass-ackwards, don't they? Hebrews chapter 11. It's a great chapter on believing and hope. It says in verse 6, but without believing, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek the rewards. No, that diligently seek who?
Him.
See, we're to be about one thing, God. He's our portion. See, He's our all in all. He's everything. See, we're to seek Him. And as we do, diligently, God promises that He'll reward us. And those rewards are not just in this life, but that which is to come. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 7, it says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Remember, godliness with contentment, with sufficiency, it's great gain. So we should exercise ourselves unto our relationship with God, getting to know Him, of walking and talking with Him, of just knowing His will, of seeking Him. In verse 8, "For bodily exercise profits little." Boy, that's a relief. I don't have to exercise. No. "For bodily exercise profits for a little while." It's the text. It does. It's good. It also wears off if you don't keep doing it. Have you noticed? "For bodily exercise profits for a little while, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." So God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There's great rewards in this life of knowing Him, of walking with Him. Okay? Every need supplied, contentment. See, but also rewards in the life that is to come. Look at Psalm 37. The 37th Psalm. In verse 4, it says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." See, once again, it doesn't say delight yourself in the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. You know, our focus, our love, our affection on Him, and then He gives us the desires of our heart. Isn't that beautiful? And you know, it's so wonderful to delight in Him because He's so delightful. He's so wonderful. He's so good. There's another wonderful verse in this same psalm, verse 23. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." See, the steps of a man are ordered by the Lord, and certainly that's ordered by God's Word. See, by God's direction and guidance. See? "The steps of a man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." Now, we saw earlier that we're to delight ourselves in the Lord. Right? And certainly this verse could be understood in that light. You read it, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he, the man, delights in God's way." And that certainly is true throughout the Bible. Perhaps more accurately, because of the structure of this verse, it should be understood, "The steps of a man are ordered by the Lord, and he, the Lord, delights in his, the man's way." Isn't that wonderful? Because when you stop to think about it, we delight in the Lord, and the Lord delights in us. See, that's the family. That's the relationship we have to God, that true vital spiritual relationship of loving Him because He loves us. See, of Him delighting in us and we delighting in Him. And boy, what a delight it is. The New Living Translation of Psalm 37, verse 23, "The steps of the godly are directed by the Lord. He delights in every detail of their lives." Isn't that beautiful? "The steps of the godly are directed by the Lord. He delights in every detail of their lives." Look at Jeremiah chapter 9. In Jeremiah chapter 9, in verse 23, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches." Not necessarily anything wrong with being wise. You know, human wisdom is a place for it. Not necessarily anything wrong with being mighty, strong is a place for it. Nothing in and of itself wrong with riches. Nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil, right? See, but God says don't glory in any of these things. And then verse 24 it says, "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Isn't that beautiful? See, if we're to glory in anything, if we're to apply ourselves to anything, it's to knowing God, to walking with God. And you know, even though we might not be, you know, the most wise people in terms of human wisdom, or we might not be the most mighty people in terms of human strength, we might not be the richest people in terms of financial portfolios. When we know God, then we have access to His wisdom. And He is wise. Then we have access to His might. And He is the Lord Almighty. And we have access to His riches. And He is rich beyond the riches of our anything we could comprehend. See. Look at Psalm 16, please. With God, we have everything. And without Him, we have nothing worth having. In Psalm 16, in verse 11, it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." You know, so much of God's sufficiency for us is Him showing us the path of life, showing us what's right, showing us the way to go, giving us guidance, giving us direction, giving us His Word so we know which way to go. See, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is" what? "Fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And boy, we've been brought into the presence of God by the work of Jesus Christ, haven't we? We have complete, total, unrestricted access to our Heavenly Father because Jesus Christ just blew away all the obstacles, took them out of the way, so that now we are sons and daughters of God, that we can crawl into Daddy's arms and call Him Abba, Father. Okay. Brought into His presence, and in the presence of God is fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore, forevermore. It brings great delight to our life, great pleasure, great joy to know God, to be able to dwell in His presence. That is our portion for life. And God's portion is us. To close, look at 3 John, the third epistle of John, towards the end of your Bible. Getting to know Him brings joy, increasing joy and rejoicing to our hearts. Great delight and pleasure. Great contentment, because we're sufficient in all things. And as we get to know God and walk with Him, it also brings great joy to Him. It says in 3 John, verse 3, For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in what? Truth. What a joy it is for us to receive the truth, to know the truth, and to be able to walk in the truth. And as we have the joy of walking on the Word of God, it brings great joy to our Heavenly Father. You talk about a wonderful relationship. Joy to God, joy to us. Delight in Him, He delights in us. See, every need supplied, no good thing denied. Our God is our all in all. That's our portion in this life. So, Father, thank You for Your loving kindness. Father, for the wonderful Word that shows You as such a good God, such a caring, compassionate Father, that there's no good thing that would be withheld from us. Father, we delight in Your presence and have great fullness of joy because of the fellowship we have with You. And Father, what a joy it is to know that You don't change, that You're always there, ever present and constantly available, so that we can talk and walk with You, that we can rejoice in Your presence, that we can just spend all our days with great contentment, growing in our relationship with You and knowledge of what our Lord and Savior has accomplished. So, Father, we love You and are just so thankful for this time here at camp. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.